content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from something new, the New York Times wellness section. It's a special wellness section. It was printed on Sunday, October 20th. It has lots of goodies in it. And as well as the Kiplinger magazine. I shouldn't say the, it's Kiplinger's personal finance. And I think we're going to start off right with Kiplinger's. And this article is entitled, How to Make the Most of a Down Market. You may never learn to love bear markets, but you can learn how to make them more bearable. A bear market rips your portfolio for at least a 20% loss. Smaller downturns of at least 10%. Even the 19.8% price drop in the fourth quarter of 2018 are corrections. Since World War II, the average bear market has clawed 33% from Standard & Poor's 500 stock index and lasted 14 months. It typically takes 25 months to get back to the level where the bear market started. The worst bear market in the period was the 2007 to 2009 bear, which sacked the S&P 500 for 57% loss in price alone, not including dividends. Investors had to wait 49 months to get back to even. Like economic recessions, bear markets are mostly recognized in hindsight. With the bull market in its 11th year, now is a good time to prepare. Make a shopping list. Bear markets give you a chance to buy stocks on the cheap. Let's say you have money to invest, but think the market is on the expensive side. The S&P 500 recently traded at roughly 17 times projected earnings of nearly $172 a share for the next four quarters for the companies in the index. That's above the 10-year average P/E of 14.8, according to Factsheet Research. If the market were to suffer the average bear market loss of 33%, then the P/E on the S&P 500 would drop to a bargain basement level of less than 12 times earnings. If you invest for income, you buy high-quality dividend stocks when their yields hit 4% or better, says Sam Stovall, chief investment strategist for CFRA. Yields rise when prices fall. Of the stocks in the S&P 500 that pay a dividend, not all do. The average yield is 2.45%. Income-seeking investors can begin their search with the dividend aristocrats, stocks which have increased dividends every year for 25 years. Or consider S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats ETF, symbol NOBL, Noble, $71. Which invests in all the aristocrats and yields 2%. See what the pros advise later. Dollar cost average with a twist. Most people dollar cost average through their workplace retirement plans. When you invest a set amount each paycheck, you buy more shares as the market falls, lowering your average cost over time. Take even more advantage of bargains by boosting your contribution rate, say by a percentage point when the market is down 20%, when the market is down 20% from its most recent high, and another percentage point every time the market posts an additional 10% loss. If you were contributing 6% of your salary before a bear market, you'd increase your contribution to 7% when the stock market is down 20%, and 8% after it falls 30%. Rebalance. Consider rebalancing your portfolio when the market is down 20% or more. When you rebalance, you reset your portfolio to your preferred asset allocation. say you decided to keep 60% of your portfolio in stocks and 40% in bonds. But thanks to a bear market, you now have 50% in bonds and 50% in stocks. In this case, you'd move money from bonds into your stocks until you got back to your 60%, 40% mix. You'll be selling your winning investments, bonds, when they are high, and buying stocks when prices are low. Know your risk tolerance. Most people feel comfortable with risk when the stock market is rising. When the market is falling, however, it's a different matter. It's best to take a hard look at your risk tolerance before the market falls, not after. Bear in mind, for instance, that you'll need a 50% gain to erase a 33% loss. Do you have the extra time to make up for that loss? Or would it force you to postpone important goals, such as retirement? Ignore the noise. The market often exhibits short-termism, says Rob Arno, chairman of the board of research affiliates. But you should be a long-term investor. When the market is in a tizzy about this or that, ask yourself, will what is happening now matter in 10 years? If not, learn to ignore it. For example, we most likely won't be talking about Brexit in 10 years. Instead, focus on things that will matter in the next decade, such as the likelihood that corporate earnings will be higher in 2029 than they are now. Okay, and speaking of our portfolios and how to invest, here are 5 experts in the field that are going to give us some advice. Advice from the pros, what to do now. People should be less worried about owning stocks and more concerned about what part of the stock market they own. This is from David Kelly, J.P. Morgan, Chief Global Strategist. Focus on financials and energy, two sectors we view as defensive because they will be less sensitive to economic cycles. Okay, so that's financials and energy. U.S. shale oil has transformed energy into a less volatile industry, and financial firms are much more stable today than people realize. All right, put that down, financials and energy. All right, our second expert, Liz Ann Saunders, Schwab Chief Investment Strategist. Take advantage of market swings to rebalance your portfolio. With recession risks rising, now is not the time to make aggressive bets in any major asset class. Focus on shares in large U.S. companies, not small ones. We favor healthcare stocks because they offer good growth at a reasonable price. When picking stocks, it's important to focus on firms with stable earnings, steady dividend growth, and low volatility. All right, so healthcare stocks. All right, so far, financials and energy, healthcare stocks. All right, Sarah Ketterer, Portfolio Manager, Causeway International Value Fund. International value stocks are so cheap, we think a recession is already priced in. We like banks, industrials, and insurers. Many European banks are run by competent managers who have repaired their balance sheets. Volkswagen is better run than it has ever been. And many European value stocks, such as French oil giant Total and German shipper Deutsche Post DHL, pay hefty dividends. From John Linehan, Portfolio Manager, T. Rowe Price Equity Income. Now is not the time to be aggressive with your investment strategy. Instead, do a portfolio health check and set aside some cash as dry powder. Because if we do go into a downturn, there could be a lot of opportunities. When things are at their worst, it's often the best time to buy companies that are sensitive to the economic cycle. We see opportunities in chemical companies, paper companies, and financials. That's where we're concentrating our firepower now. All right, chemical companies, paper companies, and financials. And from Mary Ellen Stanek, Chief Investment Officer, Baird Funds, control what you can control. Lower the risk in your bond portfolio by trimming stakes in high-yield debt and bank loans. Invest in a high-quality short-term bond fund that you can sell quickly at a reasonable price. You'll get a yield north of 2% in a diversified portfolio with low interest rate volatility. High-income investors with taxable accounts should look at munis. They offer compelling tax-adjusted yields. And that's going to be it from our Kiplinger's Personal Finance. All right, well, our next segment is going to be about the cutting edge of wellness, new and very old ways to take care of yourself in a chaotic world. And the first article we're going to read here is entitled, Meet the People Changing Lives, Make Way for the Real Queen of Wellness. Tracy Ellis Ross is living an abundant, juicy life and wants you to as well. All right. Tracy Ellis Ross, an actress on Black-ish, executive producer on the spinoff Mixed-ish, and as of last month, beauty entrepreneur, wanted to talk about what wellness means to her. At 18, I woke up like this, she said. At 46, I care for it. In September, Miss Ross released a hair care line, Pattern, which features three conditioners for different curl patterns, hair tools, a cleanser, and a serum made with luxurious oils. The line, she said, is a 20-year dream, 10 years in the making. The move seems like a natural extension for Ms. Ross, who often documents her trials and triumphs, frequently on Instagram, with jade rollers and glass blue balls as one way of dealing with, in her words, the weird anxieties that can come with getting older. According to Nielsen, Black women make up 85% of spending within the ethnic hair care and beauty aids category. Within the entire beauty marketplace, Black consumers spend a total of $473 million in a $4.2 billion industry. Mintel, a global research firm, puts the value of the Black hair care industry at $2.5 billion, a figure that does not include wigs, weaves, extensions, salon visits, hair accessories, and electric products. At a time when Black women have more choices than ever to experiment with on their hair, they will often buy and test a variety of products and then stick to a specific lineup that helps them achieve the hairstyle they are looking for. Ulta, where Miss Ross's line is sold, carries more than 30 curl-enhancing products, and Target carries more than 60 products for textured across different stores. Ms. Ross is aware that she was stepping into a competitive market, but views her entry more as a contributing to a community, more as contributing to a community she has been a part of for so long. I work out and take care of my skin, she said. I roll my face. I care for my hair. I look for safe products. All of those kinds of things really matter to me. But some days, she said, there is no amount of self-care that can match sometimes the amount of things that I have on my plate. Miss Ross, who had squeezed in a workout before being interviewed, was sitting in her trailer on a lot in Burbank with her hair up in a slick back bun. She was there for a table reading and notes session for Mixed-ish, a show Ms. Ross executive produced and narrated about a biracial family, which premiered on September 24 on ABC. Inspiration at home. As a child, Miss Ross knew when she woke up in the morning that Diana Ross, her mother, would be there to smooth out her bed, her bed head edges with heat before she went to school. She grew up going to the hair salon every Saturday for a blowout that was meant to last a week. With the help of sponge rollers and the tightest ponytail of all ponytails. I was raised by a mom who was so clearly herself in every environment that she was in, Miss Ross said. I saw, experienced, and witnessed her, and I took that as an example. She paused. I understand that her fame offered her that privilege, but my mom was that before the fame. Things changed when Miss Ross went to school in Switzerland for eighth grade. For the first time, she was left to her own hair devices. She no longer had access to the beauty store with products she needed. An Italian girl gave her a tip. Beer helps to define curls. That, Miss Ross said, was how she discovered how harsh certain substances can be and how bad alcohol is for the hair. She moved back to the United States in 10th grade and decided she wasn't going to resume relaxing her hair. She said her family supported her doing whatever she wanted to do with her hair, even if that included chemical treatments and blowouts. Her mother, aunts, sisters, and other family members all had trailblazing hair, she said. Although Miss Ross mentioned Lisa Bonet, Ray Don Chong, and Nene Cherry as women she saw wearing their natural hair, there weren't many examples when she was growing up. Instead, she was influenced by what she was seeing on television, where shows and commercials promoted straight and long hair as ideal. When Miss Ross entered the early stages of her audition circuits in her 20s, her hair was still transitioning. Not every strand had grown out of the damage from heat and chemical treatment. Knowing what to share, I love looking gorgeous, she said of her life these days. I love feeling gorgeous. Ms. Ross, balancing a demanding life, is in pursuit of the full human experience. She tries to get 8 hours of sleep a night, work out at least 2 days a week. She credits her background as a track and cross-country athlete for her discipline during 14-hour days on set, and loves a bath. If I'm working out, I remember to engage my abs, to stand up straight, and I have an open heart, she said. My body physically being strong has helped my heart and my mind be able to do the things that they want to do. There are things she thought would have happened by now, at 46. I thought I was going to be married and have kids, she said. I thought my hair was going to have grown down to my butt, but I also keep trimming it because I kind of like the way it looks around my face when it's shorter. Boundaries are a huge part of Miss Ross's self-care, like knowing when and what to share with her millions of followers online. I'm not that private, but I have a real sense of what is sacred to me, she said. For Miss Ross, it all comes down to expressing what she needs to feel safe and also loved. I've been a speaker upper my whole life, she said. Absolutely, especially in the protection of my image. And these cheapo vanity face tools that she uses on Instagram, along with beauty as a whole, it makes up, quote, a very small percentage of what it takes for me to feel like I'm living an abundant, juicy life, end quote, she said. All right, and speaking of boundaries, a short guide to better boundaries. We all need them, and having healthy limits does not make you a bad person. Establishing healthy boundaries, especially around physical touch, requests, and expectations, and unsolicited advice or criticism, enables us to separate our own experience from those of others. Boundaries are important in all of our relationships, whether they are familial, romantic, friends and acquaintances, or professional, because they allow us to better serve ourselves and the people in our lives. We consulted with literature and interviewed three experts. They are Vanessa Marin, a licensed psychotherapist specializing in sex, Beverly Palmer, professor emeritus in the psychology department at California State University Dominguez Hills, and Maynard Brussman, a consulting psychologist and executive coach. The following are their tips. 1. Identify events in your life that have not felt good, Ms. Marin said. They can offer clues about what types of boundaries you need to establish. 2. To define healthy boundaries in romantic relationships, ask yourself what partnership and trust mean to you, how you want to be spoken to, how much alone time you need, and what kind of sexual activity and contexts feel good to you, Ms. Marin said. 3. Consider the roles you have played in relationships, like caretaker or workaholic or people pleaser, and how those roles make you feel. Happy, stressed, guilty, resentful? Letting go of these roles will leave you less dependent on the approval of others to feel liked or loved, Dr. Palmer said. 4. If you are prone to people-pleasing, replace telling people what you think they want to hear with saying what you mean with empathy and compassion, Dr. Brussman said. 5. In order to set boundaries in a parent-child relationship, it is critical for the adult child to develop a sense of separate self so that the need for approval is no longer tied to the parent's expectations or criticisms that violate the child's boundaries, Dr. Palmer said. 6. Unsolicited advice is almost impossible to stop before it happens. So when it does happen, use a statement to self. I feel okay about the way my hair is now. To affirm that you don't need to attach yourself to the other person's opinion of you or your hair, Dr. Palmer said. Use the I statement when communicating your boundary, rather than the you, Dr. Palmer said. Own what you feel and stick to a description instead of an accusation. Yeah, so I messages, I feel like you're doing, I feel this way or that way, angry when you, or I feel hurt when you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, 8. Of course, relationships are reciprocal. So ask the other person what needs she or he has and how the two of you can address them. And 9, making others aware when a boundary has been violated is equally important. And there should be clear consequences if a boundary is violated, according to an article on goodtherapy.org, a resource that helps connect people with mental health services and treatment information. All right, we're going to end with wind down earlier, sleep better. A recipe for better rest includes unplugging from tech. There are many ways to fine-tune your bedtime routine and environment to improve the quality of your sleep. With Google's digital well-being tools like Wind Down, you can create space from tech to help you on your way to a better night's sleep. The 7-day unplug challenge. Try experimenting with winding down earlier in combination with some common bedtime tips. Record your results to see what works best for you. All right, well, day 1, meditate to de-stress. Find a few moments of mindfulness. All right, so note what time you'll wind down, circle your mood, and rate your experience for each of these days' tips. 2, play some music or a podcast. Listening can help you leave stress behind. 3, give your phone some space. Physically separating from your device reduces distractions. 4, make something sleepy to sip. Warm milk or non-caffeinated teas can help you relax. Day 5. Read a book or a magazine. Avoid multitasking to settle your mind. Snuggling up with a book or a magazine before you go to bed, or while you're in bed. That's my thing. All right, day 6, take a calming soak. A warm bath lowers body temperature, helping you sleep. And day 7, unplug a little earlier. Try a mix of whatever worked best this week. So for each of these 7 days, you want to note what time you'll start to wind down. Circle your mood the next morning. And so is it, well, it's three faces, a sad face, a neutral face, and a happy face. And rate your experience with today's tip, with that day's tip. So 5 stars is best. All right, so those are your ways to help you de-stress and get a better night's sleep. Meditate, play some music or a podcast, give your phone some space, make something sleepy to sip, read a book or magazine, take a calming soak, and unplug a little earlier. Okay, and we're going to go out with 2 quotes. The first one, having to do with hot baths that we were just talking about. There must be quite a few things that a hot bath won't cure, but I don't know many of them. All right, and the quote for the day today is, the way to get things done is not to mind who gets the credit for doing them. I love that. The way to get things done is not to mind who gets the credit for doing them. Just get it done. Okay, here's a recipe for homemade apple cider from delish.com. The ingredients list include 10 large apples quartered, half orange halved, 4 cinnamon sticks, 1 teaspoon cloves, 1 teaspoon whole allspice, 1 whole nutmeg, and half cup packed brown sugar. In a large stock pot over medium heat, add apples, oranges, spices, and brown sugar. Cover with water by at least 2 inches. Bring to a boil, then reduce heat and simmer covered for 2 hours. Remove orange halves, then use a potato masher or wooden spoon to mash apples. Return to a simmer and let simmer uncovered for 1 hour. Strain through a fine mesh strainer, pressing on solids with a wooden spoon to squeeze all juices out. Discard solids. Serve apple cider warm. And you know what? Stick a cinnamon stick in it as well. That'd be fun. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today of Modern Maturity. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Kogal, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 832-5138. Have a great week.